Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Girl, you know, I was raised by lesbians. And yeah. Like a good...
Who doesn't?
Right? Like a good, sensible 90s lesbian. I'm wearing a thick overshirt today.
Wow.
I'm like a nice, thick, sensible, warm overshirt.
Love.
I was raised right.
Hell yeah.
Hi, Julia Bazzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Tell them what's going on.
I got to tell you something. So everyone's going to be like, why are you wearing that in April?
Oh,
guess
yeah.
what, everyone? So welcome to our bonus episodes this year. It is 2026. I'm speaking to you from the past.
Yeah.
We are recording this December of 2025. God damn it, we're going to try to get ahead.
It's not even Christmas yet.
It's like early December.
Yeah.
2025. This is our first bonus episode of the year. You're hearing this in April. So I hope it's been a good 2026. I need it to be.
I wonder what major world events have happened that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, that we're going to be kicking ourselves for not knowing. We're going to be set. I promise you, I will put both
Vegas
feet
isn't
in my
even
mouth.
There anymore.
I know.
All right, girls, tell me what we're talking about today.
So we're going to kick it off with a brand new series. It's called A Killer Among Friends. Jennifer Love Hewitt is one of the producers and our narrator.
Shut up. That's wild.
Yeah. So this is season 1, episode 5, Secrets to Reveal.
For lifelong friends, a girl's trip to Sin City is the perfect way to blow off steam. After all, what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas. But when one girl doesn't make it home, her family's only chance at justice is for all of her secrets to be revealed.
So we're in West Covina, California. Looks warm. It's cold in New York.
Michelle is our victim, but we are at home with Alexis, who tells us about these like four best friends.
Yeah.
And the story starts in 1995.
Oh my God. So I must have been in high school. Well, they're younger than me, but we go back to high school in the 90s and we get all this footage. And I'm like, the fucking hair, the lockers, the music. This was when I was in. It brought me right back.
Well, it's 1995 and we're in fourth grade. Vicky
yes.
tells us that she met Michelle in fourth grade because Michelle was going to kick her butt.
No, that was
school.
The thing. That was how you said it back then. I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah.
Like, that was what the bullies said.
Vicky told her sister. Vicky's sister threatened to kick Michelle's butt.
Yes.
The school found out and called them in and said, okay,
you guys need to either be friends or your sister's going to go to jail. And I was like, oh, no, for sure. Like, we'll be friends. It was like best friends from the moment we became friends.
You two fourth graders make up and be friends, or Vicky's sister is gonna go to jail.
Now, if I'm Michelle, I'm like, fuck Vicky's sister, bye.
Vicky's like, fine, we'll be friends.
Yes.
But I'm like, what kind of threat is this, school?
I know.
Hey, you two fourth graders, get your shit together, or sister's going away for life.
At first, I didn't like it, but then I was like, wait, this is a good approach. I kind of like this.
Well, it made them friends.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell Daisy tonight, eat your vegetables, or Daddy Steve is going to prison.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Don't
Daddy,
do that.
And then we could hire an actor to come and like bang
please
on the door.
Don't. Oh my God.
Because she would push it, she would test it.
That is horrifying.
As he's being dragged down the hallway, I think it's hilarious. It's childhood trauma for Daisy forever.
Oh my God. Well, they're instantly best friends. And then
yes.
now suddenly we have four besties. We have Vicky, Alexis, Amanda, and Michelle. So this is where they're like playing with makeup and music and boomboxes and CDs and MTV, back when MTV actually played
it's
videos.
It's so good.
Alexis says.
Can I just say that we meet Amanda here? Now, Amanda is being interviewed in a bar.
Yeah.
There is a martini with olives next to Amanda on a table. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did Amanda order a drink before she sat down? And was she sipping it throughout the... No. It's never touched.
It's never
the
touched.
Level never changes.
No.
I was expecting...
Aesthetics.
I wanted it to cut back to Amanda, who at one point would be... Like, has, like, the cocktail olives in her mouth.
Yeah.
We don't get it.
We don't get it.
It doesn't happen.
She does say something that I felt in my bones. She's
yeah.
talking about the 90s and the 2000s and
yeah.
the music. And she goes,
growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, we didn't have social media, so that was... great. We actually went outside, went to the movies, and went to the mall. We had boyfriends, you know, throughout high school, but nobody could just break our bond.
We didn't have social media, so that was great. And that pause I felt in my bones.
Did you have social media when you were in high school?
I am of the generation that had the best of both worlds.
Okay.
So we had like the internet and stuff, but we like, what did they say? Like, I grew up when the internet was like in a room.
Yeah.
So we would like, there was like a computer room, or we still had to like go outside.
We had a computer in the living room that had the internet, but it was AOL dial-up.
Yeah.
I've told the story before. I remember the one morning I was sitting there, like got up before everybody else, as I'm wont to do, was desperately trying to download a picture of Marky Mark in his underpants.
Which
and it
like,
was so slowly.
Was so readily available though.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
But it was just like, it was loading like that. And I didn't want my, because I wasn't out yet. And I didn't want like my family to say I wasn't out.
Sure
can you
are,
imagine?
Girl. Sure, Jan.
Can you imagine a
sure,
world
Jan.
In which I'm like, you guys, I'm totally attracted
no.
to women. I know.
No, I can't.
I know.
I can't. No, but I grew up in the time of like away messages and like, yeah like I,
we didn't get Facebook until I think after I was out of college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because Facebook launched in like 2004, I think. And I graduated college in the year 2000 because I am not young.
Well, look, that pause, I was like, Amanda, girl.
I know.
We probably have a little bit of an overlap, same taste in music.
Yeah.
But then it's like Michelle, our victim, was the strong one. She was the protector of the group.
She was the Dorothy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Vicky, adventurous yet reserved.
Blanche.
Yep. Alexis. Smart but tough.
Sophia.
Amanda, funny and sweet.
The Rose.
I said, get these women a TV show or at least like some pop star tour.
I'm like, the way that like the Golden Girls nailed the archetypes before we even knew what they were, like the foursome that had all of those different I was like, as she was saying it, I'm like, you're describing
one,
the Golden
Girls. One, two, three. Check,
sweet
check,
and funny
check.
You said
know,
it. Come on.
And like, everything was great. They complimented each other so well.
I love though that they couldn't be like, and what's her name was the slutty one. You know what I mean?
No.
I wish they could have.
I know.
Because you know one of them had to be.
We love sluts. Sluts rock.
I love sluts.
To quote Coop from Wet Hot American Summer, I love sluts. Sluts rock.
Exactly. Girl, Dose is back. Look, it's time to start doing something good for your liver for once.
Yeah, so Dose for Your Liver is a clinically backed liver health supplement. And it's not just like another capsule or a powder. Dose is a liquid supplement.
Yes, and it cleanses the liver of the unwanted stressors that is slowing your liver down. And the liver is important, girl.
Yeah, your liver needs to do its job. It's your body's filter.
Exactly. It processes everything you consume and performs 500 plus daily functions. That's about 499 more than me.
I mean, we're talking energy production, digestion,
yes.
vitamin storage, like everything.
So when you drink Dose, fam, it's going to reduce sluggishness. It's going to get rid of that midday crash, which I have to take a nap for every day.
Oh my God.
It's going to support your metabolism and even aid your daily digestion.
Yeah, we got to like support the liver a little bit.
Yeah,
I think we've
sure.
all been ignoring our livers.
I'm obsessed with this stuff. So fam, if you're ready to solve the mystery of why you've been feeling off, check out dosedaily.co/TCO or enter TCO to get 35% off your first subscription.
Your body does so much for you. Let's do something for it.
Yes, that's dosedaily.co/TCO for 35% off your first month's subscription.
That's a great deal, I'm just saying.
It's a great deal. Your liver's going to love you.
Aww. So fall 2010, they're done with college. Vicky and Michelle are going to take the GMATs to get into grad school. Also, I just noticed a typo. It said rad school.
Oh, said nobody who ever went to grad school.
I know, Vicky's like, absolutely not. Because Vicky was like super bummed after taking the GMATs. She said she had this like really intense feeling of dread.
Yeah, she was just really like, this is kind of important. Like she was at a low point in her life. Like
yeah.
she finished college, she's going to grad school. She's still got all of her girlfriends, but like she's just not happy.
She's going through it.
And she's feeling lost. And so Michelle, BFF Michelle, is like, fuck it.
So Michelle was like, let's go celebrate. We just took a test. Like, let's go have fun. Her idea was to go like to Vegas to try to help me feel better.
We live like a 3-hour drive from Vegas. We are driving to Vegas for the weekend. We are getting your groove back.
Yeah, because they were both working hard on the test. They
yes.
just went through it together. So Michelle's like, let's just go have fun for a weekend. We haven't had a fun weekend in so long. And you're like kind of down in the dumps, like, let's just go party.
I love that they like drive around to say bye to their girlfriends before they go away for the weekend.
So Vicky and Michelle go to Vegas, but Amanda and Alexis don't go with them.
No. Now, Amanda says something later. Like, Amanda and Michelle made a trip to Vegas like just a couple weeks before this.
Yeah, Michelle's going to Vegas.
This is something they do.
Yeah, yeah. So the plan is there was no plan. The plan was to have fun, go shopping, hang at the pool, blow off steam, blast Beyonce and Mariah on the drive there.
I was going to say on the drive, they were talking about how it had just rained in the desert and you did a drive like that.
I got to tell you, driving through the desert is one of of the coolest things
ever. I got it. I've never done it, but I got
to
do it.
We drove from LA to Vegas in August. So Mike has all of the tips of like how to not overheat. Like you got to bring like water with you just in case.
Yeah,
like, you really never know.
A ditch bag from that episode from 9 months ago that we just recorded
five minutes ago. But no, it's very, very cool. And I've always wanted to do that. And so, but you can see the weather come in and like the storm and the rain like pass through. So like you see like the sky is like super clear. And then you see the storm coming in, like all gray, dark clouds. And then it like comes, in our experience, like it came over us. We were in the pouring rain. And then like, it just went the other way.
Oh my God.
It was so cool.
That is
so cool.
Well, and like, that's exactly the experience that
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it was really like, oh my God.
Nature.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. So I highly recommend doing it if you can. But then we get the date that it's November 7th and it's 12 days later. And I'm like, oh no, no one spends 12 days in Vegas. Like you either live and work there or something bad happened in this context.
And it's also like, wait, we didn't even get anything about the trip. All we're getting is the after effects.
Yeah, we're going to go back.
Because like on this date, November 7th, 12 days after the trip, Michelle's dad, John, is here. And he says the doorbell rang. It was the West Covina police. They say the worst thing they could say to a parent, don't be alarmed, but do you know where your kid is?
Too late for that, you idiots.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Like, no reason for asking.
Yeah, but just, you know, we haven't seen her.
Kidding.
Oh, and by the way,
was she in Las Vegas? I said, yeah, she was in Las Vegas. They told me they found her car with the engine running and the doors open and the radio on, but nobody inside the car.
We found her car in Vegas. It was running. The doors were open. The radio was on and nobody was inside.
How careless can you be to knock on a door with the news that you know you have and say to a father,
Like,
it's so disingenuous.
I know.
Don't be alarmed.
I know. I know.
What is he supposed to act?
I know. It's like saying, like, I'm not trying to be rude.
Right. But so like, okay, wait. My daughter's missing. For 12 days, seemingly. Now her car's in a not great part of town, we're told, with the engine running, the doors open, the radio on. Like, oh no, but I'm cool as a cucumber.
Well, and also he starts calling her right away. She's not answering. And like the dad is,
obviously.
These things are like the kid, I just cannot imagine as a parent how you get through this.
No. So we meet Kevin, Michelle's brother, and Esther, her mom. And Esther, her mom says, we talked all the time, but they actually didn't talk that much that week. And her mom even texted her like, hey, like, what's up? Yeah. Can you just like check in and let me know how you're doing? Because I haven't heard from you. Like, no, not like Mike. I'm not being a helicopter. I'm just, check in.
And the mom and the dad are divorced. So they don't live together. And the dad was the one who had to call the mom to be like, they found her car, but they don't know where she is.
And my question is, where the hell is Vicky? And Michelle's family has the same exact question.
And as do I. And so does Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And so does Michelle's brother, Kevin, because Michelle's brother.
When Kevin came to my house, he just had a look of concern on his face. He also looked mad. You know, where's my sister? And I was like, what do you mean? I don't know. Like, is she not home? He's like, weren't you with her? And I was like, we went, but I was like, then she stayed.
Vicky's answer is like, we were in Vegas for a couple of days. And like, kind of I'm on Vicky's side. Like, it was time to go home and Michelle didn't want to leave. So Michelle stayed and
Vicky
left.
She's like, wait, she's not home yet?
Yeah.
Because
which is also weird because you're like, aren't you in constant contact?
We'll get into why. So it turns out that they went to Vegas together. Vicky left on time, if not a day or two early. And Michelle stayed behind. And I'm like, why did Vicky leave? Like, how did this happen?
Right.
So now we meet like present day Amanda and Alexis. And they meet up and it feels like it's been a while.
Right. They're like at the old high school and like they're reminiscing about the friendship and how great that like the group of friends was. But yeah, it definitely feels like they haven't spoken in a while.
Because they're like, you know, high school was great, but then the four friends started to grow apart. And I'm like, well, Michelle and Vicky went to Alexis's house to say goodbye to everyone before Vegas, so still pretty close.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever made a house call to be like, I'm going on vacation, see you later.
Right, exactly. No.
Even Ashley would be like, are you okay?
Right, and it's like, whatever. Y'all, like, you had your lives. You had, a couple of them had kids. Like,
they
had jobs.
To different colleges.
You're going to grad school. Like, it happens.
But they were still close. Like, Amanda says that she had a daughter when she was 22 years old, and the three friends would, like, come and help her out. Like, so they were close. Just, you know, whatever.
Right.
So Vicky tells us what happened. And they didn't really have a plan. Remember? Like, we're just going to, like, listen to Beyonce and have fun.
Right. So it's October 26, 2010. It's the night they get to Vegas.
We went to gamble a little bit. I saw Chandler from Friends. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go up to him and, like, say hello. And then she's like, no, don't, because it looks like he's losing, like, a lot of money.
They see Matthew Perry in the casino.
As Vicky calls him Chandler from Friends, which is also accurate.
Yeah, she wants to run up to him and say hi, but Michelle's like, don't do it. He looks like he's losing a lot of money, to which I said, he's got that Friends money. Matthew Perry can lighten up.
I know, but people get super stressed.
I get it. This is why I don't get Vegas.
It's the stress of it.
Like, I just really don't understand. And I'm afraid to understand, because if I ever did get into gambling, I feel like I would get really into gambling.
Yeah, it's... My whole thing about Vegas is it can be super, super fun if you do it right. If you go with, like, I understand not having a plan, like, what time should we be at the pool? Like, who gives a shit about that? Yeah. Like, do whatever you want. But going with a plan of, like, I'm only going to spend $200.
Yes.
And that's it. Like, set a limit for yourself. But once you start, you know, the horror stories of, like,
and then you wake up 4 days later.
The kids' college fund or whatever.
Well, but the thing is, we learned, so that was their first night. Then we learned the next night, they meet up with a friend of Michelle's. His name is Emil. They go to see a Cirque show. My note here is Jillian would not have gone to that.
I would have been a good sport. It's just, it would not have been my favorite thing.
It's only an hour.
Is it?
Because
how
all
much
Vegas
can it
shows
really do?
Well, that is kind of true.
But also, physically.
Yeah.
Because again, it's a feat.
All that tumbling. But like...
I could never do it. I appreciate the athleticism. It's just not my thing.
You would have gone to the sexy strip show.
I'd be like, can we go to the fucking burlesque show, please?
I know.
Or the drag show or something?
Like, I would be so torn. If I was on that trip with you, I don't know which one I would do.
I don't need anyone to go to the burlesque show with me.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah, I'll meet up after.
I know, but what am
I going
to do?
At the Flamingo.
Yeah, totally.
But this Emil guy.
Michelle's friend. Emil didn't live in Vegas, but he would always come down for business. And so whenever he was in town, he would reach out. I'm sure he had a crush on Michelle. It was not reciprocated. But she cared about him like a friend.
They're friends, and like, you know, they like Michelle wanted to have him in his inner life, but like didn't have the butterflies.
Yeah. So it's 11 o'clock. They're back in their like huge hotel suite with multiple bedrooms.
To which I say, this is
That's
the Vegas trip I could do.
That's how you do it.
Go to a Cirque show, meet Jillian at the Flamingo for a cocktail, back in your room by 11. This I'm down for.
And by Cirque, you mean burlesque and/or drag.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but now there's a drag option.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
It's so good.
We're going
to the Flamingo.
What about a drag Cirque show? I can't believe they haven't done that yet. No, you're still out.
I'm not into the Cirque thing.
Maybe you've seen the wrong Cirque.
I'm not.
Have you ever seen a Cirque?
Not like sitting in a seat doing it.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I know I'm not going to convince you.
I know, like, on paper, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
They jump onto that teeter-totter. The guy goes like 19 stories in the air, lands on that girl's head. It's pretty, it's something to behold. But not for you. not for you.
Like,
all right.
You know what?
More for me.
You know?
Yeah, it's like
what, like, you know, when people, like, cilantro tastes like soap to people.
Oh, I'm just that guy. I am that guy. Yeah.
But I'm not going to take cilantro away from you.
Right.
Or I will take the cilantro away from you.
Thank you so much.
But you won't take the cilantro away from me.
Correct. You have all the cilantro.
It's 11 o'clock. They're in their huge, there's like a living room and bedrooms.
Two bedrooms.
Vicky's in her room in the suite and she hears something. And suddenly.
And I came out of my room and I saw Michelle's ex-boyfriend, Justin. Like, why? Why is he here? Like, is this why we came? It made me sad.
Michelle didn't tell Vicky anything about inviting her ex-boyfriend to their hotel room. And I'm sorry, but that's not cool.
It's not cool. Also, Michelle is nowhere to be seen. Like, we'll find out later she's sleeping in her bedroom. But, like, the ex-boyfriend, Justin's just chilling in the living room.
And Vicky's like, what? Like,
yes.
They're there because Vicky's bummed out. And then she's like, wait a second.
Now she feels duped. Like, she feels like Michelle planned this trip so she could go see her ex-boyfriend.
And she's like...
Who, by the way, nobody really likes.
Everybody hates him.
Yeah.
At best, he's, like, weird and annoying.
Yes.
At best.
Yes.
But Vicky's like, man, I was already bummed. And, like, we were going to Vegas to just hang out and have fun. And now, like, this guy's here. And, like, did my friend really not want to cheer me up? Did she just want to see this guy?
And, like, is he going to be with us for the rest of the time that we're here? Like he's going to be the third wheel on our fun girls trip?
And so weirdly, Michelle is asleep in her room and her ex is just like there making all this noise, waking up Vicky.
Yeah. And like Vicky's talking about they started talking.
She's just trying to make
he's
small talk.
Asking her about like how, you know, Michelle says you're really sad. And then he's trying to like preach to her about life or whatever.
He's basically like, well, have you tried yoga? He's
exactly.
Like mansplaining her own sadness to her.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Man, like talking at her like. Go away.
Then major red flag because Justin goes to the vending machine.
And the second he closes the door, I run to her room. Not to go check if she's okay or go check if she's still asleep, but like go check if she's alive. So when I lean over her to make sure she's breathing.
To make sure she was alive.
And Vicky's like, I want to slow down on that for you, listening at home. Look up from your phone.
Yeah.
Stop the two-screen thing.
Right,
she's
exactly.
She's like, this is a big distinction. She goes, and she ends up gaslighting herself later, being like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But her body, her instincts were like, make sure she's still breathing.
Like, that's a, and she says, like, that was a major revelation. She says, you know, I was like, oh my God, you're going crazy. But, like, she had the instinct. This creepy guy that we don't really like is here.
Right.
They've had this on-again, off-again relationship for years and years. I need to go make sure my friend is alive.
And also because Vicky is just feeling so shitty in general. And then, like, this guy's making it worse. And then she feels crazy for wondering if her friend's alive. Instead of waking Michelle up, she tiptoes out of the room. And I'm like, wake her up and ask her why this creep is just in your hotel room and you didn't know about it. That's scary.
Yeah. And then she's like vindicated because Justin the weirdo comes back and like sits down and is like, so do you think Michelle's a good person?
I'm like, did he have a key or was he let in by Vicky?
Right.
Like, how did he get in?
Or do you do that thing where you put the latch in the door so like it just stays open?
Oh, God.
I know.
And now, he's now, the creep is like interrogating Vicky and Vicky's like, yes, obviously. Can you go home now? Like, yes, I think my friend is a good person.
Yeah.
Like, why are you in my suite?
I know. And then Michelle finally wakes up. Like, I mean, like, she was sleeping. He was hanging out in the living room. I don't get it.
She's making enough noise to wake up Vicky.
Right.
And Michelle didn't at least send a text being like, hey, you're not.
Sorry.
Like, I don't know how they got separated, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how didn't Vicky know? You know what I mean?
Right.
Or did they, or they got separated somehow? I don't know. But Michelle finally wakes up and she's like, hey, creep, can you stop bothering Vicky?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, fine. And then he just leaves.
He leaves.
And now Vicky doesn't tell anybody. And we're going to say one thing and we're going to get to it later, but just remember what she says now. She says,
I didn't call anyone or text anyone. I was pretty private with her and her and Justin's stuff.
She was, quote, pretty private about stuff involving Michelle and this guy, Justin.
Yeah, we get the sense that, like, Vicky and Michelle, like, they're part of this foursome, but they're kind of the closest.
Yeah, of course. Like, that's sort of what happens, right?
Yeah.
But Vicky didn't even ask Michelle about it the next day. She didn't even want to deal with it. Like,
she doesn't want to talk about it. She's like, I don't want your weird ex-boyfriend to be here. Like, I wanted my girls' trip in Vegas. Like, can we just go to the burlesque show?
Like, 11? She's already miserable.
Yes.
And now this, and, like, she kind of, like, she's here in Vegas. Can we just have the fun weekend instead of having, like, a fight about this guy?
Yeah. Girl, Miracle Maid is back. Look, the weather is a-changing, and it, like, there's no time to sleep on not sleeping at the perfect temperature. You know what I mean?
Tis the season to never know what temperature you're going to be sleeping at.
100%.
I mean, that would be the case if you didn't have Miracle Maid sheets, but I do, so I'm not worried.
And the reason it's working for you is because Miracle Maid sheets are crafted with NASA-inspired silver-infused fabric that helps regulate your body's temperature. So whether you're a hot sleeper, a cold sleeper, it doesn't matter. These sheets help keep you in the comfort zone all night long, which also keeps you asleep.
Yeah, they also stay clean longer.
Yes.
Because they have this antibacterial silver technology, so Miracle Maid sheets stay cleaner and fresher up to 3 times longer than those regular old sheets.
And honestly, they are so luxurious. I love them. Slipping into them at night is my favorite thing. They feel just as good, if not better, than sheets you'd find at a 5-star hotel, but without that steep price tag.
I could not agree more. I love these sheets.
So fam, upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Maid sheets today.
You'll save over 40%, and when you use promo code TCO, you'll get an extra 20% off plus a free 3-piece towel set.
They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk.
That's trymiracle.com/TCO, code TCO at checkout.
Thanks to Miracle Maid for sponsoring this episode.
Honestly, what an easy, fabulous gift idea.
I know, really. Honestly.
So now we jump back to 5 years earlier, and we learn that Michelle and Justin met at Cal State Fullerton, and, like, she was really excited to meet him. She's telling all of her friends about him. He plays on the basketball team. Vicky says Michelle always dated the tallest guy. She's got a thing for tall guys.
And he was super tall.
Yeah, she, probably when she saw how tall Justin was, she just instantly fell in love.
Right, and so they start living together right away in Vegas.
Yeah.
But their relationship was, like, super off and on and always getting back together. And then when finally Michelle moves back to California, everyone was like, oh my God, is it over? It feels over. Did they break up? This feels good.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in that friendship where it's like, is it over?
Oh, which
this is
why
a good sign.
5 years later, you know, Vicky is so annoyed that he's back again.
Because after Michelle moves back to California and everyone's like, fingers crossed, I think it's over, the friends don't hear about him after this.
Right.
And they also just went to Vegas before the trip we're currently talking about.
Yes.
And the ex wasn't brought up at all.
Exactly.
And they didn't meet up with him. They thought it was fully over, which is why it's so much more shocking and also fucking annoying and weird that he's here now.
Yes.
After 5 years of nothing, and we were just in Vegas 2 months ago and nothing.
Where
and now
he
this.
Lives. Yeah.
Now this?
Yeah.
So October 28th, 2010, day 3 in Vegas. The ex is finally gone after being very weird and annoying. Vicky and Michelle are just moving on. They're not talking about it. Vicky's like, can I please have the fun weekend I was promised? Thanks.
But then doesn't, because they go to the mall and she's like,
but I just couldn't stop crying. The only word I can think of is dread. And as the weekend went by, it just got stronger and stronger to the point where I was getting scared myself of, I didn't understand why I was even experiencing this.
Walking around the mall, just sobbing.
I've been there. Like, it's just that feeling of like, why do I feel this way? And then the pressure of trying to figure it out makes it worse. And
I've
then you're
never
anxious.
Had that.
Oh my God.
I
it
know.
Sucks.
I mean, I've been with people who've gone through that.
It's awful. And you just feel like betrayed by the world and by
yeah.
herself. And now that, like, she's sad about everything and she can't place it. And now she's, like, definitely sad about Michelle because,
right.
like, is her friend with this guy? Or what, did her friend lie to her about, like, her motives for coming to Vegas?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a mess.
And, like, she's trying to push through it. She's like, let's just go to dinner and a show. But she couldn't stop crying. And she says now, the only way I can describe it now looking back on it is a feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And she says, as the weekend got, like, wore on, that feeling got stronger and stronger.
Worse than she was home.
Right. And I think this is probably why she left early.
Of course.
You know, because she's saying, she's like, I was getting scared. And like, she stops just short of saying she was maybe thinking she was going to hurt herself.
It was so bad. And I think what Vicky's saying is that it was almost becoming out of her control.
Yes.
And that was scary to her. So
yes.
she's trying to remove the thing that made her even worse. She was sad at home, but she's sadder here. Let's go back home.
Yes.
So
yes.
it's a bad, bad, bad situation. And Vicky leaves. And she wants Michelle to come with her.
Yeah.
And Michelle chooses to stay.
And like Vicky says, like, you know, she makes no bones about it. Like, she was not happy about this.
Yeah.
She says she was disappointed with Michelle, A, for kind of being a bad friend in this moment, but also for getting back with this guy that she knows it doesn't work with.
And not being fully honest with Vicky, or at least Vicky felt like there were ulterior motives for wanting to go to Vegas other than like cheering up her best friend.
Yes. And so November 6th, which is a couple days after Vicky gets back, she hasn't heard from Michelle in a couple of days. And Michelle calls her.
I saw her call come through and I was like, now she calls me? I'm like, it's 11 p.m. Like, what the heck? She's gonna have to wait. Like, I'll call her back. And I regret not ever answering her phone call. I wish I would have.
And Vicky does that thing, we've all done it, when you're mad at a friend and you want them to know, because she says, I wanted her to know that I wasn't happy with her.
Well, it's been a week,
yeah.
and Vicky left in shambles. Like, she was miserable.
She was, like, sobbing all day long.
Which is, like, not safe to be driving 3 hours when
yeah.
you're in that kind of state,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, I keep forgetting that they drove,
you know,
right? Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not good.
Yeah.
So Vicky doesn't take the call. She goes, it's 11 o'clock. It's been a week. She goes, she can wait. I'll
She's
call her
gonna
back.
She's going to have to wait.
Vicky, of course, today fully regrets not answering that phone call, but I totally understand where she's coming from.
It's funny. I was thinking about this. I watched this last night and then I took my notes on it this morning. And in between when I woke up this morning, my waking thought was about Vicky and her survivor's guilt here.
Yeah.
She's got so much survivor's guilt that she should not have.
Right. Because also this conversation has to be kind of a big one, I think.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen 11 o'clock in Vegas. Like,
yes.
this has to be a conversation. And maybe—
And like, if it's 11 o'clock, is he going to be there, you know what I mean?
Like, is this the right time to have the conversation that Vicky, I think, maybe feels that they need to have?
Yeah.
And on top of that, she's fucking pissed.
Yes.
Like, there's also that maybe it's not that deep.
Yeah.
She's just angry. And
totally
I don't
agree.
Blame her. And so, Vicky, please, like, don't blame yourself. Let me just give you a quick timeline refresher.
Yeah.
October 28th, Vicky leaves Vegas. Michelle stays. By November 6th, Michelle calls Vicky. Vicky says, no, I'm not answering.
Yes.
November 7th, Michelle's car is found. So this
right.
is not good.
No. And so the next day, the 8th, Vicky calls Amanda to see when was the last time Amanda heard from Michelle.
Right.
And Amanda says kind of recently, like through text, they're making plans to hang out when she gets back. But this is when Vicky tells Amanda, no, girl, they found her car in Vegas. The doors open, radio on, car running. Michelle wasn't there.
But Amanda says that she heard from Michelle the same day Michelle called Vicky. They were texting. They were making plans to hang out. Like, Michelle was kind of on her way way home.
Yes.
So everyone's panicking now. The police have contacted Michelle's family. Everyone is calling everyone else. Everyone's calling Michelle. Everyone's calling the
Justin,
ex.
Yeah.
It's major.
So no one's answering. All the calls are going to voicemail. Everyone's sobbing.
Vicky gets shit done. Vicky calls Vicky herself calls Michelle's cell phone provider.
This is incredible.
I remember calling her cell phone carrier and begging them to tell me who was the last person that she called. I was like, please. I was like, it's my best friend. She's missing. I was like, please, just tell me. And the guy, like, he felt so sorry. And he ends up giving me the number. Ends up being Justin's brother.
She is begging and pleading with the guy to tell her the last person Michelle called on her phone. You can't just do that. You need a warrant for that. Like, you can't do it.
In 9 years, we've never seen this, and we've never seen it work. It works. And by the way, I'm the guy who did this, give that guy a fucking medal.
He felt so bad
for
what was going on, and Vicky must have been beside herself.
Sobbing.
And he tells her. He does it.
Yep.
And he probably could never, I mean, he probably doesn't even work for the company anymore. Maybe he does, but he probably could never
would get in huge
be outed.
Trouble.
But like, it was so bad and so scary that he was like, okay, I'll tell you.
But the last call Michelle made was to Justin's brother. So Vicky's calling Justin's brother and he answers. And she says to him, Michelle is missing. Where is Justin? And the brother, at least he says, he has no idea.
And I'm like, okay, well then why is your number the last one she called?
Well, and I guess we should be clear to say that that's the last number called from her phone.
Well, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah,
maybe
because we don't know who made that call.
But even still, you totally have information.
Of course. And we're going to find out later, this guy is completely uncooperative, wants nothing to do with helping. Like, they're all fucking in on it. I would never.
No.
I would turn in my mother. I would turn in my husband. I would turn in my daughter. Like, if somebody's dead, we need answers for these people.
I mean, my God.
The number of times we see, like, family covering for the fucking shithead murderer
endlessly
in their family, I would never.
Endlessly.
I would never, ever, ever.
November 8th, 2010, 2 days since anyone has heard from Michelle, everyone's calling everyone.
Yeah.
And now, this is absolutely horrifying.
And the way the mom, Esther, says this is, like, heartbreaking.
We were calling her friends, trying to get a hold of her, and trying to get it out there that Michelle was missing, that if anybody have seen her, heard from her, to please let us know to get in contact with us. In the meantime, John had mentioned that I should contact her dentist to see if I can get her dental records.
She is calling Michelle's dentist to get her dental records.
Like, at her ex-husband's suggestion, she does that.
Like,
which is like, I would not...
To be able to identify their daughter.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I hear you. I'm going to wait till we need that. You know what I mean? I'm not doing that today.
It's like, it must be some kind of fight or flight, preemptive strike kind of thing.
And like, this didn't happen on their home turf. Like, they're going to have to go to Vegas. So maybe they need it to bring.
It's still absolutely horrifying.
Horrifying.
And so they do that and everyone heads to Vegas. Michelle's parents, her brother, and Vicky.
And they all go in the same car.
And this is when Vicky starts to open up about the Vegas trip, like how Vicky was feeling the whole time, why they went, why Vicky thought they went, why maybe they actually went, that Justin the ex showed up and it was weird and Michelle was fine when Vicky left and that Michelle really did want to stay. Like, Vicky's like, she wasn't being held hostage, like she wanted to stay.
And the family is surprised. Like, the dad is saying, we all thought that Michelle moved on from Justin. Like,
everybody.
Like, no one has heard her mention him. Nobody knew that that was part of the plans going to Vegas on this trip.
And I think that's really important to keep in mind, everybody.
Yeah.
When we learn our lesson at the end of this thing.
And like, once again, we're going to learn later, but like, Justin and Michelle were off and on for years. This was not a healthy relationship.
No. And like, when no one can get in touch with Justin, it's not surprising because he would bail on Michelle a lot. He would ghost her.
Yes.
So this is like something he did. And I'm like, wow, real fucking stand-up guy. What a loser.
But even then, even Vicky doesn't think Justin did it. Like, Vicky says,
what if Justin left and left her alone at some hotel room and some bad man saw that she was by herself and took advantage and did something to her? I was thinking all sorts of like scenarios and I was like, what if she's kidnapped right now? What if she's, you know, just gone?
No one is thinking yet that it's Justin.
Nobody. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Girl, Wayfair's back, fam. We've got very exciting news, but only if you like to save money because it's Way Day at Wayfair.
Yeah, from April 25th through the 27th, you can score the best deals in home, like up to 80% off with free shipping on pretty much everything.
That's insane. So, fam, Wayfair's got it all. It doesn't matter the aesthetic. They've got everything. They've got mid-century. They've got farmhouse, contemporary. We once bought a couch from there. It was gold. It was like my favorite thing. It was so comfy and it looked so fancy.
Well, they make it so easy to find what you need.
Yes.
They have all of these filters so you can go by like reviews or even size.
Yep. And don't worry if you don't know how to build the thing because I didn't. Installation and assembly services are available for a truly seamless experience.
They just make everything so easy, honestly.
Yes, exactly. Like you dream about the furniture and then it's set up in your living room.
And then there you go.
So fam, Wayday is the sale to shop the best deals in home. We're talking up to 80% off with fast and free shipping on everything.
Head to Wayfair.com April 25th through the 27th to shop Wayday.
That's Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Even mine.
Even yours.
Girl, Quince is back. Look, it's that time of year where we're all like going through our closets and getting rid of the stuff that we never wear, we're never going to wear again. You're starting to build a wardrobe of pieces that are well-made, versatile, and easy to reach for every single day. That's why people come back to Quince all the time.
I am such a Quince girly.
I
can't even hide it. Like, I have that nylon crossbody bag that I love. I have the stretch jeans that I love. I have that little lounge set that I love. I have the candles that I love.
That we all love now.
Oh my God.
And that's the thing. Quince makes beautiful everyday pieces using premium materials like 100% European linen, organic cotton, and super soft denim with styles starting around $50.
I know. And Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And they tell you. They tell you what it could be elsewhere and what you're paying on Quince.
That you like that better than the bag. It's your favorite thing.
I was going to get the bag anyway, but it's nice knowing.
Totally, because then you can take that money and spend it on dinner.
Exactly. That's free money.
So fam, refresh your spring wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/TCO for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now available in Canada, too. Go to quince.com/TCO for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/TCO.
I love it.
Me too.
So November 9th, 2010, Michelle's family, and including Vicky, are in Vegas.
Yeah.
And they go right to the police, and the parents are talking to the detectives. And here's when they learn the worst thing that they could imagine. I mean, what kind of car ride is that? With your daughter's dental records in your bag.
And, like Vicky was talking about that car ride. She's like, you can feel the tension. Nobody's talking. It was a torturous ride. And Vicky has this moment where, like, when the parents go in to talk to the detectives, Vicky stays outside. And so she doesn't know what's happening, but she's like, I know they're finding out right now if Michelle is dead or alive. And she says, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be able to tell by the looks on the parents' faces if Michelle is dead. And she goes into the room and the parents are like, their faces are towards the ground. And she starts screaming, tell me, tell me, tell me. And this is when the parents tell her, like, she's gone.
Yeah. So Michelle's body was found in the desert. I mean, very quickly.
Yes.
Very, very quickly. Two people were out there doing target practice, just like shooting guns into the desert, and found her because there was like smoke coming from the rocks. It's a mile and a half into the desert. And when they went to check out what was happening,
they told us that they had found her body out in the desert.
She was set on fire and buried about a mile and a half into the desert. They could see the smoke coming from the rocks, and they found my daughter's hand sticking out of the rocks.
They saw Michelle's hand sticking out of the rocks, which means that they set her body on fire.
They set her on fire.
I can't even imagine. And like, you know, the parents are saying like something we hear all the time, and it's like, they say it's a nightmare you can't wake up from. And I can't believe how many people can relate to that.
I mean, I've told this story before, but when I first moved to New York, I worked with a woman named Romaine Patterson, who was Matthew Shepard's best friend.
Sure.
And she was if you've seen the Laramie Project, she was the young woman who did the angel wings thing. Christina Ricci played her in the movie. And I was helping her write her memoir. And she was saying, you never expect to know somebody who's going to die, let alone know somebody who's going to have been murdered. You know, like, talk about it like it is a quote unquote club, you know, to have a loved one be murdered. Like, until that happens to you, you can't possibly know what that's like.
Right. You could sit here and have sympathy and have empathy and everything. But unless you understand, like, it's something you can't truly understand unless you've lived it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So everyone is devastated. Everyone's shocked. But then the question sort of comes to the surface of, well, does Vicky know more? Because friends Amanda and Alexis seem to think so.
Well, and like, this is where we learn that Vicky was Michelle's secret keeper about everything.
She says,
better or for worse.
I was her secret diary.
Yeah.
Also, it just hit me. I'm wearing a Snoopy Christmas shirt. It's April.
Oh my God, it's April.
Happy it's April.
Do you know what I would give to go outside today and have it be April?
It's not.
I would give, it's December, fam.
You don't want to wish your life away, as they say, though.
No, I don't. I just, it's too cold.
I know.
I'm not built
It's
for
also
this.
40 degrees today, so.
Yeah, I know.
It's
this
like
morning when
cold.
I took Daisy to school, though, it was like
you're
29.
You have LA blood.
I definitely.
It goes below 60 and you're shivering.
You're freezing cold. I put hand warmers in my gloves today.
It's 40 degrees outside.
I know. Hand warmers.
It is.
And they're 10 hours, which means my gloves are currently warming.
It's 42 degrees right now.
Oh my God. That's like
nothing.
Downright tropical.
That's nothing. So, okay. Michelle trusted Vicky. She had a lot of secrets. Vicky knew all of them. So by November 9th, 2010, Vicky talks to police and she goes, you know what? I'm going to tell them everything. I did not want to hold back.
Yeah. And like, this is the first time Vicky is saying that, like, the police are questioning Vicky and the questions keep coming back to Justin.
Of course.
And this is the first time that Vicky's like, oh my God, they think Justin did this. And now Vicky's got a story that could corroborate the fact that he's been violent with Michelle before.
Because that's the question. Was there violence in the relationship? Was he abusive? And Amanda and Alexis say, we never saw or heard anything violent with Justin.
Like, we knew he was a dirtbag who would just, like, take off.
Would she cry over him? Of course. We were all crying over idiots
exactly.
back then. You know, like, but it wasn't, like, they didn't see anything, which, again, is very important. But Vicky says that very, very, very early on in the relationship, like, right away, Michelle told Vicky.
Michelle told me one day that her and Justin got into an altercation and it got pretty heated, and he was so upset he pushed her against the wall and put his hands on her neck.
That Justin pushed Michelle up against the wall and put his hands on her neck.
And Michelle never told anybody else, and Vicky never told anyone.
Which means that the abuse happened early.
Yes.
And that it only got worse.
Yes, and exactly.
They were very good at hiding it, which happens all the time.
Yeah. And like, the dad is shocked by this.
Shocked.
The dad, he says, I was shocked to learn that Michelle would stay in a violent relationship.
Because at first, Michelle's dad thought Justin was murdered too.
Right.
That's how well this was hidden.
Because the dad tells us, I don't know if it's here or later, but like, he thought of Kevin as a son. He's like, I welcomed, and we see family pictures where Kevin was like involved in everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, they loved Kevin.
And so this is just another reminder, like, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know? And like, it's also complicated because Vicky is sitting here feeling so guilty. Like, Michelle told Vicky it was one time a long time ago and it's never happened again. Vicky didn't want to ruin her friendship with Michelle or like put her on blast. She wanted to be a good friend, be a good secret keeper.
Yeah.
They were really good at hiding it. And like, what was Vicky supposed to do? Like,
right.
Then what would happen? She'd be ostracized. She'd lose a friend.
Yeah.
Like, she believed, you know, what was she supposed to do?
No, I mean, you know, my thing is like, I think you waited a little too long to tell the police the story.
Fine.
But you know what I mean? No, I mean, what do you do? You know?
And like, when I've tried to, you know, shed some light on things that were a lot less harmful than getting shoved against the wall, and that person doesn't speak to me anymore.
Right.
So like, it's very, very, very delicate. And Vicky, of course you don't want to actually imagine your friend getting the shit kicked out of her. So I think it's very easy to be like, my best friend would never lie to me about this.
Yes.
If she was in trouble, she would tell me it happened one time. Maybe he was drunk. I don't know. But like, and then Michelle was never like a sad sack about it.
Right.
No one in her life had any idea. Her father treated him like a son.
Yeah. But there's no way in the world it went from this happening one time all these years ago to murder.
That's how sneaky he was. That's how good they are at hiding it. And that's how groomed and abused Michelle was.
Yes.
So we can sit here now that we have the context. It's like, oh, he was like sucking her back in. She wasn't was she on paper manipulating her friend to get her to go to Vegas? Maybe a little.
Yeah.
But once you see the full picture, you're like, oh,
and
this guy had a hold on
her. Like, the guy lived in Vegas. So like, he was going to be there whether she wanted to see him or not. You know what I mean?
Like, so let's get the son of a bitch.
Yeah. The cop's top priority is to find Justin. They get his cell phone records.
I'm like, you should get Vicky on that. She gets the cell phone information.
Oh my God. You don't even need a warrant.
Right.
But they see that on the night that Michelle went missing, there were text messages between Justin and Michelle, and it was like an argument. They're able to read the messages, which I was amazed by.
There was some type of argument, and I think she had locked him out wherever she was staying. So at one point, he made access. And then there was a ping with Justin's phone close to where she was found. And I think that's when the murder, I think it happened around 1 a.m.
There's a ping on Justin's phone near where her body was found at about 1 a.m, which is when they assume the murder happened.
All right, come on. Let's
right. Get we got the guy. Image. Well, we got him in terms of he did it, but now we got to find him.
Well, he's in the wind. No one has any idea where he is. Is he hiding? Is he on the run?
And his phone is off, so they can't track him anymore.
And his entire family is being shady. His dad, yes. His brother, no one will help. No one will talk to the cops. Zero concern for Michelle.
Yes.
So clearly he's on the run. And what's scary is that Michelle's car keys were missing, but her car keys also had her house keys on them.
And like, this is where the dad's like, I loved this guy, but now I'm terrified because if he's got the capacity to kill my daughter, he'll do anything.
Right.
And all of the friends are saying the same thing. Everybody was afraid that this guy's coming for all of them.
And he's been hiding it so well for so long.
Yes. Like, right. So we don't even know who this guy is. We've known him forever, but we don't know him at all.
100%. So now it's November 21st and it's 2 weeks after Michelle's murder. And like, the funeral was absolutely packed. Everybody showed up for Michelle. She had a million friends.
The dad says, and like, I can only imagine, like, he says he has this out-of-body moment at the funeral where he's like, what am I doing here burying a child?
Yeah.
Like, that is, we hear people say all the time that that's the most unnatural thing in the world. As a parent, I cannot, I've never imagined that moment.
No.
You know? And all of a sudden you're like, living it.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to.
Right.
You know? What kind of life is that to imagine every horrible thing that could possibly happen? Like,
well,
that,
normally I'm that guy. Normally you can count on me for that, but not that.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I know. And it's like, it's like that surreal moment that feels like you're reliving, learning it every second.
I know.
You're at the funeral and you just can't believe it's happening.
You can't believe it.
We have this amazing scene with the mom where she's got the urn with Michelle's ashes in it. And she's talking about how grateful she is that they never buried Michelle because she can still hold her. And I felt that to my soul.
We kind of shared it and we still do. And it's like whoever needs her can take the urn. I'm still able to keep her close and hold on to that until I see her again.
We share it now. Whoever needs Michelle gets to be in possession of the urn as long as they need it.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is really, I mean, there. I guess like it could be described as ghoulish or whatever, I think it was, I felt it. I was like, yes.
You know, it's so interesting how context changes everything.
Yeah.
I was just reminded of, I think one of our very early bonus episodes, there was a case that we covered where there was a fucking creep and we're pretty sure he killed this woman. And then remember, he was making it so that her son didn't have any access to anything.
Yes.
And then he was like sleeping with her urn and her hair.
Yes.
And he was such a fucking creep and we hated it.
Yeah.
But see how context changes everything? Because now if it brings comfort to these people who are going through the worst thing imaginable.
Like physically pick up Michelle in the urn and hold
her. But I remember we were like, that's so fucking creepy. We hate this guy. But because he was like torturing this poor woman's son.
There's been a lot of growth on this podcast.
Major.
I would say. You know
but
what
like
I mean?
When that's, we're talking about what's in front of us.
I know.
So like in that moment, we were like, oh my God, how dare you? And he was so mean to that son.
Yes. Oh my God. I don't remember what episode that was, but I remember
it. Just like had the vision of him like showing, and he was like showing off. I was like, this is so like ghoulish and disgusting.
Yeah. There was
a right
time
before
that
9/11, right? And then that's what, then he killed her. It was like the lake house. Is that right? Or am I conflating two cases?
I don't know.
This just occurred to me now, so I didn't research it.
We used to say ghoulish all the time.
You love that word. It's a great word. It really like encapsulates a lot of shit.
What it means. It's a word that sounds like exactly what it means.
You can hem and haw. I'm pointing at myself right now, trying to find the right words. Or you could just say ghoulish. Like when one word like nails what we're saying. Ghoulish is it. Man.
Ghoulish is it.
For better or worse.
Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. I'm going to blow your mind. Did you know that the average employer has to sort through roughly 250 resumes per job opening?
That's like a lot of time.
That's ridiculous.
Well, if you're hiring, here's some good news. You can now review all of these resumes and applications faster thanks to ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, and ZipRecruiter has a new feature that instantly shows you the most interested qualified candidates first.
And today you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
So fam, get this. I've used ZipRecruiter. It has been so helpful because they've got this powerful matching technology that finds qualified candidates quickly.
And with ZipRecruiter's new feature, qualified candidates who are very interested in your job show up at the top of your list.
You also can get a feel for their personality. So candidates can tell you in their own words why they're interested in your job. And like, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. So it makes sense that ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2. Just saying.
Fam, cut through the standard and get to the standouts with ZipRecruiter. We see what you did there.
How cute.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
So finally, there's a break in the case.
Yes.
A friend of Justin's brother calls the cops and she comes forward and she's like, hi, 911, my friend's brother murdered his girlfriend.
Yes.
Her name's Michelle.
Yeah. So like now we've got like the proof or whatever of what we've known all along, that it was fucking Justin. And like, this is where the friends are saying, like, you know, Justin's life was really falling apart at this moment.
Another thing, he was hiding, right?
Yes.
So like, he was a mess. He failed out of college. He didn't have basketball anymore.
Yeah.
And Vicky's like, things weren't panning out the way he'd hoped.
And Michelle was always super supportive of him. Like, he would come and go out of her life when he needed right. her for support.
And who's to say he wasn't trying to suck her back in and she wasn't saying, get away from me. I just took the GMAT or whatever it was. Like, who knows what they were fighting about?
Yeah. Then it's March 17th, 2011. It's 4 months after Michelle's murder, and the detective called the parents. They found the son of a bitch.
Finally, the detectives called us and let us know that that he's in Mississippi hiding out at his mother's house. And the FBI, U.S. Marshals were going to go into the house at 5 in the morning.
Hiding.
I know.
And his mommy was taking care of him.
Can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, like, that. I just cannot imagine being that parent.
Well, actually, not anymore, because the FBI and the U.S. Marshals bust the door at 5 a.m.
The door open. They get the guy.
And he's instantly pulling some shit.
Yeah.
Trying to get all of these delays. He's trying to claim insanity.
Yep.
Give me a break.
And then he calls Vicky.
A year later. So it's like a year and a half after he brutally murdered Michelle and creeped Vicky out. And he calls Vicky from prison as he's awaiting trial.
And Vicky takes the call.
Vicky's like,
questionable choice on Vicky's part.
The fucking audacity on this piece of shit. Like, what the nerve?
Because he's calling her to say, remember how that night in Vegas you thought I was, remember the night that I killed Michelle, that
right.
we saw each other?
Sure.
Remember how you were saying I was acting really creepy and I was out of my mind? Could you like maybe testify to that in court for me? Vicky is out of her mind being on the phone with the fucking piece of shit that murdered her best friend who's asking her for a favor.
She hangs up on him.
Hangs up on him.
And Vicky's like, no, you're a creep because you're a creep.
Yes.
It's not because you were blind with insanity
and you
snapped. First of all, and remember, Vicky's the wrong one to call because if you remember, she was the secret keeper.
Exactly.
She knew.
She knew from
the beginning.
She knew what you did. Exactly.
Now, what, she didn't maybe know the depths of it then, but now that we're here, a year and a half after the murder of her best friend, you better believe she's going back and putting things back and seeing all of the things that Michelle said, maybe subtly, maybe veiled comments.
Yeah.
Vicky knows more than you think, you fucking idiot.
She knows.
Stay stupid. She hangs up on him. Good. I hope it was a good slam.
I know.
Like a nice, clean slam.
Now we're like, we can't do that with the iPhones these days.
Can't do it. But
you know,
the slam that was so good, like you'd hear it ring a little.
It clicks.
Like the mechanics of it would ring back at you a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
a nice clean slam.
God damn. Those were the days.
You know what I mean?
So 2017, this is 5 years later. They've been like, that's how long this guy's been dragging this out.
So it's 7 years after Michelle's murder, 6 years after his arrest.
Yes. The authorities come to the parents with a plea deal.
He would have pleaded guilty to second degree murder. And the sentence was 15 to 25 years. And then assault with a deadly weapon. And that was 8 to 20 years. And it was consecutive. We were okay with that. We agreed with it, so.
He's looking at a
23 to 45.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Did you see me trying to? Did you see my eyes doing the math?
No, I gotcha.
I couldn't do it.
That's right?
But the family says yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to go through the whole thing of the trial. Like, they agree to it.
25 to 45 years. Like, they feel good about that.
Why put themselves through the ordeal of a trial to maybe get nothing?
They know he did it.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
So, June 8th, 2023, the dad makes this whole speech about, like, it was my mission to put him in prison for the rest of his life, keep him there as long as I possibly could. June 8th, 2023, he kills himself.
Mm-hmm. He only lasted, what, 5 years in prison?
Yeah.
Six, five?
Yeah. And one of the girlfriends just, like, says, you know, if he was going to kill himself eventually anyway, like, he should have just killed himself that night instead of
and
Michelle.
And not murdered Michelle.
Yeah.
Or tortured her all these years.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone, you know, Vicky and Amanda and Alexis, they are all coming together and looking back, and they've learned a lot. But Vicky has learned probably the most.
Yeah.
Because she says, and this is not to put guilt on her because he did this.
Yes.
But she says,
I definitely just move differently now when I encounter a friend in a unhealthy situation. So she didn't die in vain. I no longer just, you know, stay quiet.
You know, I'm going to speak up from now on. Like, if I'm going to, she knows the red flags now. She knows the signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Vicky, it's not your fault.
Vicky, it's not your fault. But speaking up is also good.
Also good. And also, speaking of, at the end of this, it says, if you or someone you know is experiencing relationship abuse in any form.
Yes.
Help is available. It's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, provides free confidential support and resources at 1-800-799-SAFE. 7233 or through chat at thehotline.org. And I want to tell you, if you're listening to this or you this information is valuable to you, when you go to those websites, there are really easy outs in case someone comes in.
Yeah.
So suddenly it like turns into Google.
Yes.
Or you can X out and it'll change the website so it looks like a totally benign website.
Yes.
These websites totally have your back so you can feel safe doing it. It's really cool.
Geniuses
I know,
behind
I learned
stuff.
That. I can't remember when I learned that, but I was going in some research for an episode. I wanted to see or find resources for something else.
Yeah.
And when I X'd out of it, it became, and I was like, oh, that's why.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
Girl, we did. What's it called?
So this is our first bonus episode of 2026.
I hope April's amazing, everybody.
I know. The series is called A Killer Among Friends. This is season one, episode five, Secrets to Reveal. So we started off with a new series.
Yeah, we did it. Thanks for hanging out with us, fam.
Yeah,
we
welcome to the bonus episode. We're going to sprinkle these in for the rest of the year. We have 22 of these bad boys.
And welcome to April. Hey, can you send a message to Patrick in December? Let him know it's going to get warmer eventually.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll get through it.
We love you.
We love you. Thank you. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.